This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Daniel Gitlin, Public Information Officer, New Orleans Area North Shore Department of Transportation and Development. They have bridges for sale. It was kind of unusual when I saw the headlines of this story. I started scratching my head and said, don't ever recall bridges being for sale ever by the state. And he's here to tell us why. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a thrill to be on the show. And I just want to say, you know, I've grown up here and I really appreciate everything you've done in the public sector, and now you're doing great on the radio. Really appreciate it. It's really a thrill to be here. What I can tell you is this is a standard process that is involved with the Federal Highway Association when bridges are can be applied to be added to a national registry of historic places. And once recognized as a historic bridge, there are certain criteria that the state goes through, including once a bridge is no longer can no longer serve that transportation purpose anymore, we go out and we mark it. And if you would, to use a football term, you know, put on waivers, basically, we offer the bridges to anyone who wants to make a claim on them. And there are certain criteria to go through. If the bridges are not claimed within that 90-day period, we do go ahead and remove them ourselves. So the bridges will be removed, but this is a special way to sort of see if there any if anyone out there wants to make a claim.
Daniel, what makes these bridges historic? Just their age?
A couple things. Age is part of it. These are pre-1970s bridges. These are all from 1933, the Huey P. Long administration. Also, just the significance of what they meant to the state. Also, you know, the design of the bridges. All those things come into play here. This was a monumental achievement, basically, to build these bridges in 1933 over over a swamp, wetlands area, and it cut several miles off of the route from Bay St. Louis to New Orleans. It was a feat at the time. It really was. And these bridges, you know, there's 150 historical bridges in the state. Only 70 of them are movable bridges. And as far as the West Pearl Bridge, it's a vertical lift bridge, and there are only 20, 30 of those bridges that are around. So there's different criteria that go into it. The biggest part of it is recognizing the history of these bridges and the people who built them, how they went into our transportation infrastructure here in the state. So there's several different reasons.
The bridge itself, obviously the federal government would assist in paying whoever decides that they have an interest in the bridge for relocation, but there are some restrictions as to what the bridge can be used for, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't disassemble the bridge. You can't use it for vehicular traffic. Obviously, it's been deemed not safe for that reason. It's pretty open, though, as far as what opportunities we would make available. The idea is to, give these bridges reuse, to keep them within the community. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. You know, these are large structures. If someone wants to make a claim to them, they have to exhibit how they would safely remove the bridges. So, you know, we were talking about the federal government will reimburse you for that, the cost to move the bridges. But you do have to have, some resources up front to move them. Some of these bridges, they have lead paint on them that has to be removed, that type of thing. As far as the West Pearl Bridge, 110 feet. The other bridges are just pony bridges, but they are still, over 500 feet. They can be broken down. It would have to be a substantial company or individual with really great means to be able to help us out.
Yeah, I mean, those things got to be pretty damn heavy. I mean, it's not like you just show up with a regular old crane and lift it and stick it on the back of a trailer somewhere, right?
Yeah, no, it's not like we get a U-Haul truck and throw a rope out there. The most important part is that these bridges have to be taken down very carefully because of the environmental concerns. We don't want anything getting into the waterways that goes out to the Gulf. So that's very, very important. Does a big company want to come in that has money to spend and show that they are environmental partners? Off the top of my head, I think the most likely case would be maybe an oil company wants to come in and sort of be a partner to us and take the bridges out. Maybe they might have the land or the resources to keep them up for public viewing, that type of thing. It would have to be something somewhat extraordinary like that. But I think we're very hopeful that we can get some ideas. I spoke to someone this morning who was interested in perhaps making artificial reefs out of the bridges. So, we've gotten such great publicity this time around on this, and I'm so grateful to all of the news organizations and people who want to talk about it. It gives people a real understanding of how their government works and how these historical programs work. And just behind the scenes, there's so many hardworking men and women at DOTD who are involved in the environmental process, who work every day to try to make everything that we do so our footprint isn't detrimental at all to the state. So I think it's just neat to see the reaction. Obviously, sort of tongue in cheek, who wants to come get a bridge? I get that. But you know what? Maybe the word will get out. We will find someone who can use them. That would be a fabulous thing. And as I said, if not, at least we're recognizing the bridges and the history behind them, and DOTD will go ahead and safely remove them from the waterways so we can move on.
Daniel, is this a case of first instance for the Department of Transportation and Development?
As far as have we done it before? We've done this a couple times. We actually had a success with this in the past with the Bayou Test Bridge at Oak Lawn, which was an individual from the community did claim that bridge. He's putting it on private property that can be seen. There was discussions about the Leo Kerner Swing Bridge in Lafitte. Mm-hmm. There was talk with the city. It just ended up being too difficult to make that happen. Again, it takes a lot of money and resources to sort of get through that first step of taking the bridge off of where it is. But we do have a tremendous, as I said, there are 150 historical bridges in the state. A lot of them were built in the 1930s. A lot of them are post-World War II bridges that were built in the 50s and the 60s. So this type of opportunity we're going to see coming up more and more frequently as these bridges can no longer give us that safe transportation purpose. We have an aging infrastructure here in New Orleans. We're very reliant on things like our bridges. So we're going to see this more. Hopefully we can get some reuse for these bridges that have really done us well. These are unbelievable structures that we use highly over and over again. And what people may not realize is, these bridges move. I mean, they open and close and raise, and because of the marine traffic that goes through them. You may not see it because, there's curfews during rush hours, so they may not open then. But there are people who live in the little, they don't live in the little houses, excuse me. They work in the little houses that are attached to them, and they work with and marine traffic, which is so important for our economy here in Louisiana. So, you know, this is a big part of what we do, and hopefully now that the word has gotten out, next time we may be able to get some really good responses.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the bridges. I cross them a lot, especially during the duck hunting season, because I hunted out that way, and it was the shortest and fastest way to get to the lease was to actually take Highway 90. So if no one takes advantage of this program, what does the state end up doing with the bridge?
We go ahead and put in a project to remove them. It is a complicated process. The federal government goes ahead and gives us about 80% of what the cost is, but it goes out to the bidding process, and it will go through some special steps because of the environmental concerns, so you'll have environmental overview on it, but contractors will go into the water and safely remove the bridges, and then they will be dismantled. Basically, they'll be taken apart.
Are they ultimately sold for salvage value in order to try and recoup some money? Because I got to imagine that as heavy as that bridge is, there's significant salvage value.
That's right. There is salvage value that is estimated along with the bridges. They estimate them, the smaller pony bridges at about $35,000, the West Pearl Bridge at about $50,000. So that is the value of the bridge. You know, everything we do here goes out as far as a bidding process. And so that is the estimation on what the cost is. If someone is going to take ownership of the bridges, they end up paying the salvage costs. It comes out of the demolition cost. But here in Louisiana, we're not allowed to give anything of value away as far as our ethics codes. So that salvage value, the value of what it is, actually ends up being something that is paid for, if you would. But, you know, the salvage value is never going to be as high as what it would cost, obviously, to take the bridges out.
Exactly. Well, I don't know whose idea it was to stir up interest on this story, but it was a huge success. I don't know if you've ever marketed a bridge in your career before, but you're doing a hell of a job.
Well, I got to give credit to Bob Warren of The Advocate, who saw the notice and contacted me and wrote a real good article on it that really sparked a lot of interest. Yeah. It's been fabulous. It's great that the community is so interested in it, and it's been a huge success. I mean, you end up on the Norman Show. You've really done well. I mean, I'm talking to you about the Historical Bridge Program. It's really outstanding. So,
Y'all hit all kinds of national news outlets. I was on the internet last night just out of curiosity, seeing if anybody else picked it up around the country. Man, it's a whole bunch of different places talking about, if you want a bridge, head down to Louisiana. They'll sell you some.
So. Well, absolutely. Yeah, it's been thrilling. And again, all the credit goes to the environmental groups within DOTD who work really hard to make this available. And it is fascinating. And hopefully later on you're going to be reporting that we did find some agreements with some individuals or companies, and these bridges will be able to be restored, and people will be able to look at them for now and years from now and say, hey, you know, that's what the bridges looked like in the 1930s. And those bridges served us for, you know, almost 90 years. So really, really outstanding.
I remember taking my son hunting and crossing that bridge for the first time, and he's like, why is this bridge so narrow? I said, well, that's how they were back then, because when you had oncoming traffic, it felt like you were going to hit head on with them as you were crossing those bridges. So very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, 1930s, when they were designing these things, you have to remember the cars were not exactly as they are today. The amount of traffic was significantly lower. And what happens over time is that we develop new strategies as far as how we design roads, having the shoulders. You know, I grew up here working at the Ilaria Center and going across the old UEP bridge, and you sort of hold your breath. When you would go across that, because it was so narrow. And now, of course, it's been so well designed and redone with how wide it is now. So,
I know people that would not go across the UEP Long Bridge ever. Not in their life would they go across the UEP. They would go the other way,
or go up river. I feel like it's one of the safest bridges ever because people were paying attention so carefully when they went over. But those Westboro bridges, all of those, they have a significant historical meaning. As you were saying, going across and going hunting, going fishing, a lot of people have a lot of emotional attachments to those bridges. So I think that is why this story has gotten the legs that it has, is because of, you know, the history along the coastline here in Louisiana. It's very important to us.
For sure. Daniel Gitlin, thank you so much for joining us. Public Information Officer in New Orleans Area and North Shore Department of Transportation and Development. Have a great week.
All right, Noel. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.